in the garden with Jay Harper. We're going to get to Pat. Talk about tree questions here. Welcome, and how may we help you?
Good morning, Romy. This is Pat. You hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a place up in northern Arizona, about 6,800 feet, and looking at putting a new tree in the front yard, front planter area. I'm just looking for some suggestions, maybe a deciduous tree. I've got lots of pine trees in the area.
You're calling a guy that's lived his whole life at 1,100 feet elevation about a tree that will grow at 6,900 feet.
That's right. That's right. I knew I could lean on the best sort.
So what general area of northern Arizona are you in?
West of Flagstaff.
West of Flagstaff. So I would go see the folks at Warner's in Flagstaff to verify what I'm going to tell you. But if you want something deciduous, there's a lot of different, maples that turn beautiful colors that you could plant. You can obviously plant a clump of aspens.
Elk like those too much.
Well, elk are going to like them all when they're little. You're probably going to have to do something with some kind of protection around any of them when they're young. I would guess, but there's sure some pretty choices, especially in the different kinds of different maples, red maples, and different ones that.
That sounds like a great idea. What, like a 24-inch box or what?
You know, I think most of those trees, they don't grow boxed like we do. They're ball and burlapped. They're a field grown tree, and then they go in and dig them and put them in a burlap type sack and tie it up. Probably they may be doing more containerizing of those, but you'd probably want to start with something reasonably good size for the elk reason, as well as the fact that they're at 16 at that elevation and those long winters, you don't get probably the speed of growth that you might be used to with trees down here, so you might want to consider that. That'd be a good question to ask.
I had some fruit trees, but the late frost always got to them.
I think fruit trees at that elevation are going to be pretty sketchy. Yeah. You'd certainly have to make sure you pick the right varieties. But once you get up that high, it's going to be tough to not get nailed by those late frosts.
Very good. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, good luck. Let us know what you pick.
Yeah, I have to get out of the heat.
We'll come up and help you. We'll come up and watch you dig the hole.
not bad at supervising here. We'll help you with that. And while you're up there, you can catch Rosie on the house in Flagstaff on Calf Country. So whether you're home in the mountains or you're home in the desert, you can catch Rosie on the house, no matter where you are in Arizona. We've got Chuck wrote in last night and says, I've got 14 greed hop seed bushes forming a hedge. They're about 6 feet tall, 18 months old. I'm getting a lot of leaves turning yellow and dropping off. They're on a drip system, watering twice a week for 60 minutes each time. Is this the proper amount of water? And should I do more or less? What can I do about the yellowing?
Well, one of the things, Rosie talked earlier about knowing the exact nozzle on your lawn sprays. An hour on a dripper, is it a 1 gallon an hour emitter, a 4 gallon an hour emitter? How much water in an hour is that drip system delivering? That'd be one clue to know. I would say in general, that's probably okay a couple of hours a week with a drip system. Number one, make sure they're, again, check them. They plug up. They don't operate properly all the time, and I've found they're not very consistent. You get some that, they stream out of there, and some that barely drip out of there. And so you may need to do a little checking and regulating. But I'd say in general, you're probably okay on the watering. The yellowing, I would suspect it needs fertilized. I would just suspect that you're getting some nitrogen sloughing where the tree is actually just kind of using up what it's saving up inside it, and then it kind of sloughs that leaf off, turns yellow and falls off. So maybe a little slow release fertilizer, something like an organic, of course, a Farm's Choice chicken manure pellet would be wonderful. But also Fertilome makes one called Start and Grow. It's a good time release. So either one of those, slow release, long-lasting fertilizer would be good.
I have a question for you, Jay.
Yes.
Our good friend Emilio from Tucson called last week, confused about his orange trees. So there are several of them. I think he told me four. And they're about 4 years old, and they've been giving him great produce. This year there is one that did not even have flowers. What is that about? He did say, I asked him if he fertilized, if he knew how to do that three times a year, and he said yes.
You know, occasionally, and I have a navel that does this, and it produces in alternate years. And so you get a heavy crop 1 year, and the next year, virtually nothing. I had one navel orange last year on this tree. It was a monster.
I cherished it.
I watched it every day till I finally went out and picked it. And this year it's got, you know, right now it's got hundreds of fruit that's set. There's a lot of theories as to why they do that and how you keep them from doing that. You know, make sure that you're fertilizing regularly, probably using the right amount of fertilizer, the right amount of times a year. Make sure that it's getting regular watering. And then sometimes there's just not much you can do. If they don't bloom at all, there's not much you can do. I mean, blooming and not setting fruit is a different thing than just not even flowering. So make sure you're using a good fruit tree, citrus food kind of fertilizer, and one that's, you know, really geared for the desert Southwest. Sometimes a good indicator is, you know, if it says citrus and avocado food, that might be an indication that it's not really developed for Phoenix, Arizona. But that'd be my best guess is, you know, try and equal out the fertilization throughout the year if you can.
Great. I know Emilio will appreciate that. Hey, I just wanted to remind everybody when you call in, and you call 888-767-4348, go ahead and hit that one so you can bypass. We've had a couple calls. People didn't press that one. So you press that one, you get right to us, and Jay answers your questions.
So new auto attendant feature we're not happy about, but had to do it. Just hit one, and you'll bypass the disclaimer message and put you right into the studio, and we can get you on the air and online with Jay. And for Emilio, he was, if I remember right, he's even south of Tucson, like San Manuel, and you know, he did not have to worry about frost this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you're on a cooler climate, well, higher elevation.
So late cold could be an issue with citrus. Perhaps again, if it didn't even flower, then you don't even have a chance, you know. But and if it frosted or froze, he'd know it. I mean, he'd have some damage on the foliage probably and that sort of thing too. So,
but if citrus did end as well in Tucson as they did in Phoenix, there would be that many citrus in Tucson.
Yeah, it's just cold enough that there can be some, depending on where you're at in Tucson particularly, there can be some issues.
You can have success, but they don't have them in those massive groves just because you are just a little bit higher in elevation, right. A little cooler. You were talking about watering and the drip irrigation on the nozzles for the heads. They've got those drip emitters now that will, you can adjust them and they'll
correct.
Go up to 10 gallons an hour. And I haven't talked to many people that like them, but I actually like them because, like you said, the they get corroded, they get mixed up. Those you can like unscrew and screw back and break up the calcium. And, you know, if you may have started with a 6 gallon an hour drip and it may be a 4 gallon an hour drip now, well, if that happens on these adjustable head ones and you're not getting as much out of it, we'll just turn it a little bit and
exactly. It kind of cleans it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can take the whole thing off and let the spray shoot out and then put it back on, and that's what I kind of like them too, frankly. Especially for some of the stuff that needs a little more water, that's not really quote unquote a desert adapted plant. You know, so I've got a hedge of sour oranges. And I've used that kind of a, you know, because they just need more water than if it was cassias or Texas sage or something like that. So for those types of plants, I think they're very effective.
And for our lawns, if somebody has a summer lawn, make sure we're fertilizing that, what, about every 6 weeks?
Yeah, that's about right, about every 6 weeks. Your lawn is probably transitioning. If it hasn't already, it's in the middle of it. You know, where the, if you planted a winter lawn, it's kind of, you know, that's pooping out, and the Bermuda grass is trying to come back in, and you want to instigate that. You want to help that, you know, facilitate that by mowing that ryegrass shorter than it likes. Maybe even take it down, aerate it, dethatch it. Any of those kind of techniques that you can use to get rid of that ryegrass at this point, if you haven't already, is a smart thing to do. Fertilizing it, watering it adequately. Again, making sure your irrigation or your sprinkler heads, your delivery devices, are putting water efficiently and where they need to be putting it. Water early in the morning, you know, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning is best, before the wind kicks up, before the heat gets on it and the sun gets on it, is always best. And before you, the family starts getting up and showering and using water pressure and that sort of thing as well.
Got a text question back to citrus. This individual has good drainage. On the citrus are 5 years old and they've hardly grown, but they're green. My first thought was, did you buy dwarf citrus?
Well, they'd still grow, though. I mean, even if they bought, you ought to see new growth coming out on them. You know, they're green, so they're probably watering enough. You're not getting brown, burnt leaves from lack of water. I would probably suggest more frequent, lighter fertilizations. You know, getting something that's fairly mild, again, like an organic type fertilizer, and maybe doing it every couple of weeks, just a little bit, and seeing if that, use some gypsum or some soil sulfur on it as well, and maybe even put a layer of shredded bark or mulch around it so that it does hold some moisture more consistently around the base of the tree. Don't get it up on the trunk, but, you know, put it out around where the roots would be. Cool those roots down. Get that moisture to stay longer and more consistently. Maybe just give it a little bit more lighter fertilization, so there's always kind of some fertilizer present for that tree to be absorbing.